there. Welcome, and thanks for listening along with Kingstown Communion, an inclusive and affirming United Methodist Church in the Kingstown area of Alexandria, Virginia. Our community exists to gather people, just like you here now, into communion with Christ and extend God's table into the world through courageous conversation, creative community, and collaborating for the common good. This podcast is just one way that we live this out. For more information about our church or to give to our ministry, visit kingstowncommunion.net. And if you live nearby, we hope you'll join us for worship on Sundays at Hayfield Secondary School.
A person's ability to identify with or belong to maybe one group or class, or often it's used related to race while secretly belonging to another. It actually, in its in its like original sense, it was, it's in its intent and meaning and history, it actually implies an intent to deceive, though it's not used that way very much anymore. One of my favorite stories of passing is about this man named Long Lance. He was a writer for the Cosmopolitan and a spokesperson for Indian affairs, and he claimed to be the son of a Blackfoot chief. This was in the 1920s, and he was known in the 1920s magazine as a man, this man, Long Lance, who they said was few were as 100% real American as him. And in his 1928 autobiography, he gives this life that he led, and he becomes a bestseller because of it. Except, when you tell a lie, and then it becomes a little bit too public, and you get exposed for that lie. Long Lance became a silent film star in the 1920s, and pretty soon people started doing some fact-checking about him. And it turns out he wasn't born in Montana. He was actually born in North Carolina, and his name wasn't Long Lance, it was Sylvester Long, and his father wasn't a Blackfoot chief, but a school janitor. And he wasn't Native American, he was, in fact, African-American. And there were so many really good reasons for his denial, right? Like, in the Deep South at this point in time, the one-drop rule created these social stratifications of Jim Crow, which meant that being something other than black meant a job and education and a hope for survival, and it meant privilege and a seat at the table, the greater chance of success. And I think that passing offers one way of looking tonight at the denial of Jesus. Take Peter, for instance. Many deny Jesus, but take Peter, for instance, whose faith we have been, actually, as our church, have been following this season. Peter doesn't know for sure, but there is this huge chance he could be arrested. For certain, he could be a lot less comfortable than he is by that cozy fire. There's a chance, even, that the church wouldn't exist today. We wouldn't be gathering in this form without Peter's attempt at passing that evening. And Peter's isn't the only such denial, not when it's common for pastors like me or like Cameron or like Lydia to say we dread that inevitable, so what do you do, question. We have our own way of passing in certain circumstances. Not when we sit at tables among family and friends, for gatherings, for holidays, and hear excruciating conversation and speech about people we love and things that are just speech that's ignorant, and we say nothing in response at a table like that. We all also have our own ways of passing, right? Maybe we don't want to start a debate. Who has the energy for another argument, right? But when we don't protect and stand up for, it's another way of passing, another way of pretending we're something other than we are. Maybe we don't want to risk a friendship by sharing our story. Maybe we want to increase our successes at work, or our success at a relationship, or success, whatever it is. We have many reasons why we choose to deny, why we tend to be a part of this passing. Or maybe we just don't think it's relevant. Our faith life and our public life are separate silos, maybe, that feed us, but they never intertwine. And so when the opportunity comes, we often say, I'll pass. There are many reasons to deny Jesus, and we all have good ones. We all have ones, many of which aren't good. We've all taken our turn at passing. But we should know that for whatever good and bad reasons, it's not dangerous to be an American Christian. We should know that the fear of being labeled as one of them brings with it opportunity to unpack people's pretensions and suspicions about faith. A respectful conversation, perhaps, with you, with any of us here today, about our faith, where we choose not to pass on it, might mean someone now knows a person who loves God and doesn't, in fact, match their original assumptions about what those people are like. Too many thoughtful believers spend a lot of their time passing, denying opportunities to love, denying opportunities to describe that love using Christian language, among others. And if we're honest, we kind of like being indistinguishable. We kind of like passing. For some, it's a mark of truly progressive faith that we blend in and cause no trouble in the world around us. When passing is infiltrated, there are costs, though. From Peter's shame to Sylvester Long's eventual suicide. What is the cost of not being who we are all the time? Peter had a good reason to remain silent. Most of us are less worried about keeping our toes warm or our necks attached to our heads. We're not like Peter. For us, our faith is a matter often of convenience and often of privilege. And Holy Thursday and Good Friday, which we will enter into in a few hours, is this opportunity to resist that easy move that all of us want to make from Palm Sunday straight to Easter. To resist being a resurrection people, to resist being a crucifixion people and a resurrection people. The thing we learn about Jesus this night is that Jesus, in fact, sits with his suffering. He never denied his suffering. He never denied who he was meant to be, who he was sent to be. He never tried to pass on it. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden. Picture it in your head. Which he and his disciples entered, and now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples, and so Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And so the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus, and they bound him. Let us pray. God of passion, on this night of betrayal and rebellion, we remember those times we have sought our best interest over what is right and good. Lord, have mercy on us.
Oh,
regarding himself, and they asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he passed it. He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. God of devotion, on this night of fear and denial, we remember those times when we have chosen the path of comfort over loyalty to your way. Lord, have mercy on us. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." God of constant presence, on this night of humiliation and abuse, we remember how we are saying with our lips what we know we neglect with our living. Lord, have mercy on us. They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, and so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. God of the cross, on this eve of crucifixion and despair, we remember the days we have wandered from your presence, only to complain that we are abandoned. Lord,